So as you are listening to our readings, did you notice any common themes? One of the things that I noticed, especially in our first reading and in our gospel passage, was this theme of disciple or discipleship. But what is a disciple? The Catechism of the Catholic Church has this to say. Those who accepted Jesus' message to follow him are called his disciples. Jesus associated his disciples with his own life, revealed the mystery of the kingdom to the disciples, and gave them a share in his mission, his joy, and his sufferings. So if we kind of take that explanation or that description of disciple, and we just look at that first part where it says accepting Jesus' message to follow him, and go a little deeper into that, we might wonder, what does that look like today? What does it mean to be following Christ here and now? Now, there are many ways that this could be done, and I'd like to share with you a little bit of my own journey, a little bit of my own discipleship, and maybe you can recognize elements of this perhaps in your own life. As I was growing up, at some point I started to drift away from the Catholic faith, and I wasn't really practicing. I was kind of a Catholic in name only kind of person at the time. And having been drifted away, I was just kind of following the moral example of society, following those standards, those norms. One of the things that I noticed was that I wasn't very happy, that even though I was doing what I wanted, it seemed like there was this emptiness, this void. There was something lacking, something missing. There was a kind of sadness, a restlessness. There was a lack of fulfillment. And I couldn't exactly pinpoint what the cause was. But I just noticed that I didn't care for this strange kind of pain. And I tried to distract myself from it in many ways. I tried to do that with like video games or movies or television or all sorts of different forms of entertainment. And it would seem like that would be working for a while until whatever the activity was came to an end. Then that strange kind of pain would return. And one day, while I was in college, while I was there over the summer, while all my friends were gone, while I was alone in my own room, I kind of thought about what would my future hold. If I continued to live my life this way, what's going to happen? And I didn't like what I saw. It was more of the same, although probably even more intense. And I didn't like that, but I didn't know how to change either. I didn't know what I could do differently to solve this problem, to resolve this strange, mysterious kind of pain that I was suffering, this loneliness, this emptiness, this void, this restlessness. And so I did something that I hadn't done in many years. I decided to pray. Now, at the time, I wasn't entirely sure if even God existed, but I was so desperate I was willing to try anything. And so as I started to pray, as I continued to pray, it just seemed like I was getting a greater strength. Like my confidence that I was actually talking to someone was being reinforced. That I knew somehow as I was trying to pray that I actually started to pray, and that somewhere in that mess of what I was trying to say, that I knew I was talking to someone. And I decided to just surrender, to follow God, because I didn't like the way my life was. I didn't know how to fix it, but I figured whatever God has planned has got to be better than what I was doing at that time. And so I surrendered. And I didn't realize it at the time, and I wouldn't have used this terminology, but I had chosen in that moment to become his disciple, to follow him, to accept his invitation, to follow his lead, to be his disciple. And having chosen to be his disciple, I noticed that there was some differences. There came to me this kind of peace and contentment. And I went to bed that night. And then the next morning, in addition to this peace and contentment, there was excitement. There was eagerness. I wanted to see what God was going to do, what difference he was going to make. And then I also noticed I was having some strange thoughts. Strange thought like, go to Mass. Like, what? I don't do that, or at least I haven't been doing that for years. Except maybe Christmas and Easter, because it makes Mom and Dad happy. But I wasn't really doing that. And it's like, that's going to be all awkward because I don't know how Mass works anymore. And I'd have other strange thoughts like, go to the Catholic Newman Center. If you're familiar with Rolla at all, you might know that Thomas Jefferson Hall, which is where I was staying, is on top of a hill. And in order to get to the rest of campus, I would have to walk right past the Catholic Newman Center. And so every day for about 3 years, I've been doing that, and not once had it occurred to me, hey, maybe I should actually go inside. But then, after I had prayed, after I had surrendered to God, after I had chosen to be his disciple, then this idea came to me to go to the Catholic Newman Center. And I resisted at first. It's like, I don't know anybody there. I'm going to be totally awkward. It's going to be totally awkward. This is going to be weird. I'm not going to be comfortable. And yet, I thought, this must be God answering my prayer, giving me these thoughts, directing me, guiding me to get me out of the life that I was in and into the life of joy he wanted me to have. And so I surrendered to these inspirations. Even though I was, you know, somewhat afraid, but I was also kind of excited to see what God was going to do. It was like the beginning of a great adventure of this relationship with God, following his lead. And there was also with these inspirations a kind of patience, persistence, that I knew wasn't coming from me because I was kind of a little bit anxious and fearful of what would happen if I actually did these things. And so it must have been from God. And as I was living out this first part of discipleship, the second part naturally followed. This having a share of Christ's life, this idea of being able to understand the kingdom of heaven all the more, having a share in his mission, receiving this great joy, and even some of his suffering. But it's been a great adventure. But there's also, when it comes to discipleship, as we heard in our readings today, there's a cost to this. There's a price that needs to be paid. And we hear this first in our first reading. Elijah, the prophet, is calling Elisha to be his disciple. And Elisha says, I need to go tell my family goodbye. And so Elijah lets him. But then Elijah has to give up his family. He needs to give up his career in order to be Elisha. Elisha needs to give up Elijah's. All right, now I'm getting myself confused. Elisha has to give up his life, his career, in order to be a disciple of Elijah. There we go. But then when we come to Jesus, a very similar thing happens. Someone comes to him and says that he's going to follow, but first he has to say goodbye to his family. And Jesus tells him that such a person is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now that may seem rather harsh. What's going on? Well, Jesus is kind of pointing out the importance of being his disciple, the urgency of being his disciple. That this isn't something that can wait, that we can push off. We need to become disciples now. We need to start following him now. And there's, like I said, there's things that we may need to give up. Maybe attachments to certain sins. Maybe other things like our home. Jesus says in our gospel passage that he has no place to rest his head. While foxes have dens and birds have nests, he doesn't have a place to go. And so those who follow him would have a similar situation, like there are going to be things that will need to be let go of in order to be his disciple. And so that might be just any kind of thing that we may be having a disordered attachment to. Maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's a home. Maybe it's our own desires and our own will. I know that was the case for me. So I had my own plan. My plan was to become a nuclear engineer, get married, and have a family. And so while I was studying in Rolla nuclear engineering, I was working on that first one. And I assumed that if I was a good Catholic, God is going to reward me by giving me what I want. That he would give me the family and the wife, and it would be great. That was my own plan. But as I was following God, he revealed to me that he had a different plan for me. A better plan for me. But I had to let go of my own plans in order to receive this better plan. Better because it's what he had planned for me from the very beginning. Better because it's the vocation he chose for me. It's what he made me for. but I didn't believe him for a long time. It took me several years of him dropping hints and clues before I finally surrendered my own will and decided to follow him and pursue priesthood. But when I did and I entered the seminary, I thought to myself, this is awesome. Why didn't I do this sooner? And the reason is I just didn't trust God enough. I wasn't being a very good disciple. Like, I was following him, but I was following him imperfectly, and I wasn't quite willing to let go of my own will, my own desires. I wasn't trusting him enough to believe him that I would be happy as a priest. I just clung to my own plans for so long, and he had to win me over. He had to convince me. But it shouldn't have taken as much convincing as it did. But having actually experienced it now, I can certainly recommend to you, whatever God's plans are, that's the route you should take. He plans for us what's best for us. He plans for us our greatest joys. Our greatest joy in heaven, absolutely. Being with God forever, that's going to be great, fantastic. But even joy here on earth. Even joy through difficulties and challenges. We see in the apostles, the disciples, that when they're proclaiming the good news, sometimes they're being persecuted, and yet they're singing about it. They're rejoicing that they are being persecuted for the sake of Christ. That there is great joy in being a disciple, even though that there is a cost. And so, now that I shared with you some of my own story, some of my own discipleship, I'd like you to reflect upon your own life. I'd like you to consider what your own journey is like. So I'll just go through a few questions to kind of stimulate your own thoughts and reflection. Have you decided to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to put him above other things, the things of the world? Are you willing to follow him, even if it means you're going to be doing something that you think you're not going to like? If you're already his disciple, then are you willing to go deeper? Are you willing to try to listen more fervently in prayer? Are you willing to seek him out through Holy Scripture? Are you willing to have spiritual conversations with friends and family, so that you can experience him through others? Is there some area of your life where you struggle to follow him? If that's the case, perhaps it's with one of the moral teachings of the church. And if that's the case, it's important to know that God loves us and only commands us to do what's actually best for us. And when we live out in accordance with his commandments, then we have this great, deep sense of joy. Not the fleeting pleasures of the world, something more profound, something much more fulfilling that can't be offered to us by the world. And so let us all, here and now, choose to be disciples of Christ. And if we already are, then to be even more fervent in our discipleship. Let us be more zealous in our following of the Lord. Discipleship leads to joy. Even though it has its cost, the discipleship to Jesus Christ has the best rewards, eternal life with God forever in heaven. So let us prepare ourselves to have a taste of that joy here and now, as we are preparing ourselves to unite with Jesus Christ, who is truly present in the most holy Eucharist.